Well, on Wednesday nights, we're continuing our series on questions that people often ask about Christianity. So, many questions people ask, and maybe we ask some questions too, but oftentimes you'll find that these questions are the same questions that people ask. Now, the question we are looking at tonight is found on the top of your handout notes. I hope everyone has one. And the question is this: don't all religions basically teach the same thing? How many of you have ever heard that statement before? Don't all religions basically teach the same thing? Another way some people like to put it is, don't all roads lead to Rome? You know, I know that the religions are a little bit different, but look, they teach essentially the same thing. What's so special about Christianity? Why should I find out more about Jesus Christ? And, you know, all roads leading to Rome is a common lie that most people believe. And we are going to look at some answers to that question or that statement this evening. But basically the answer is this: no. No, the religions of the world do not basically teach the same thing. So let's have a look at those things together. And remember, we can't expect someone who doesn't know the Lord or His Word to know any different. And we need to answer in meekness, but we need to answer with a distinct answer, a definite answer. And here are three areas of difference that you might like to share with a person that asked this question. First of all, religions differ in morality. Immorality. Your first blank is the word morality. What we're talking about is the morals of that religion. From one religion to the next, there are great differences in what those religions consider as moral and wrong morally. For example, let's look at the subject of lying. Now, in the Bible is very clear about what God thinks about lying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, the Bible says, "Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." The Bible tells us what God thinks about lying. The Bible says that God hates the lying tongue. There are some references for you. We won't go through them. Proverbs, as you know, the book of Proverbs is full of warning and wisdom to not make lying a practice of your life. The Bible says in Proverbs 11 that a liar is a wicked person. The Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. There is no truth in him, and those who tell lies are following his evil ways. In fact, in the book of the Revelation, at the end of the Bible tells us that liars will be punished in eternal hell. Now, we've all lied. What does that mean? We're all sinners. And you see, this is how God sees lying. Now, oftentimes we think it's a small thing. The world likes to speak about white lies. I remember a lady telling me, "No, I'm not a sinner." I asked her if she's lied before. She said, "Yes, but they were just white lies." You know, you have to lie sometimes. Well, the Bible tells us lying is a sin. God hates it. It's an abomination, in fact. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, verse 8, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth and with fire and brimstone." So lying is categorized with murder, with sorcery, with idolatry. Why? Because it's a terrible sin that destroys lives against God. So that's what the Bible teaches. You may not be able to go through all this detail depending on the time you have. You might just like to say, well, God says that lying is wicked. He hates lying. Now, let's take Hinduism, one of the main religions in the world today. Let's take Hinduism, for example. Now, in Hinduism, moral standards are relative. That means if you need to lie, then it's okay in certain circumstances. Hindus believe that lying is a necessary part of life. That's what missionary David Cloud has written from his experience, that they'll lie because it's necessary at certain times. In fact, their gods are known as liars. The Hindu gods, they themselves lie. So that's very different to Christianity, isn't it? Now, Islam, for example, another one of the main religions in the world today, for example, the Quran teaches that Allah
is the best deceiver there is. And he is not above using the same evil as his opponents. And there's a verse from the Quran that they, speaking of the Jews, were deceptive. And Allah was deceptive, but Allah is the best of deceivers. So, Muslims believe that their God not only has the ability to lie, but delights in deceiving his enemies by coming up with greater lies. I'm not here to talk about a study of Islam or Hinduism, but obviously Christianity, Hinduism and Islam are very different, is that right? Very different, just from one little example about what the Bible teaches about lying. They're different, they're contradictory, one is right, the other is wrong. No, all religions are not the same. So that's one example. Morals, the morals of religion. And if you study more, you'll find out more and you might like to share more. But generally, the average Australian doesn't know much about any religion. All they know is what they hear by word of mouth, they hear on the radio, or they see in some twisted documentary on TV. But it doesn't tell the truth. All religions are the same. We ought to hold hands with one another. Well, there are shocking differences. You might be shocked this evening to find out about some of them. But when you look into what these religions teach, it can be very, very frightening. Now, as we share some more thoughts there in your notes, number two, religions not only differ in morality, religions differ about God. Religions differ about God himself, the person of God. Now, we know what the Bible teaches us about God. His main attribute is found in 1 Peter 1, verse 16. Because it is written, "Be holy," God says, "for I am holy." Amen. Our God is a holy God. Throughout the Bible, you'll find from the Old Testament to the New, God is described as holy, holy. He never commits any sin. He is morally pure. He is perfect in righteousness. What does that mean? Well, he never lies. He cannot tell a lie. He never steals. He never commits immorality. He never does anything wicked, foolishly in a rage. That is God. He is holy. Very clearly in the Word of God. Now, the Bible also says that God is love. Not only holy, but he is love. Is that right?
Yes. Amen.
Now, that's one very distinct characteristic of the God of the Bible that is different from every other God or every other religion. The Bible says that God is love. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the greatness of the love of God. That while we were yet sinners, dead in our sins and trespasses, in rebellion against God, we've broken his heart by sinning against him. He came to die for us. He paid for our sin and came into this world to die on the cross. The Bible says that God is meek. He is lowly in spirit. He's not proud. And he treats us equally, without preference. The Bible says very clearly who he is. He is holy. He is loving. Now, no other religion teaches a God like this. All right, Hinduism. Let's go back to Hinduism, for example. Now, Krishna, who is said to be God himself, is noted to be deceitful, disobedient, and lasciviousness. Now, as a child, this God that the Hindus worship, as a child, Krishna was described as being playful and mischievous. Innocent and obedient in his mother's presence, he would miss no opportunity for mischief when her back was turned. So he has been hailed and described as being very mischievous growing up as a child. The Bible tells us, just as a side note, that the Lord Jesus Christ grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and favor with men. Amen. Krishna was mischievous. He mocked and laughed at his elders and teased little babies until they cried. Yep. He urinated in neighbors' houses. This is what they've written of their own God, and stole butter and sweets. So Krishna, the God that they worship, was mischievous, rebellious. Krishna's flute playing
Now, have you seen a picture of Krishna with a flute? That might come back to mind. Perhaps you've seen some of the thousands of the gods of Hindus. Krishna's flute playing is said to pull virtuous women from their homes and drag them to Krishna and to make chaste ladies forget their lords. Enough said. So he was perverse. He is deceitful. He is mischievous. Would you agree that this is very different from the God of the Bible? So we cannot say that all religions teach the same thing. In fact, these are polar opposites. Now, consider Islam, for example, another main religion. Allah is described as a murderer. There in the Quran, it says that Muslims should strike off the heads of unbelievers in the battlefield and massacre them. That is commanded. That is ordained in their scriptures. Allah condones it. In fact, it pleases him. Allah does not love unbelievers. That's what their scriptures say. There are some references. Allah hates Jews. It says in their scriptures, idolaters and Jews are the worst enemies of Muslims. Allah condones slavery of women. The slave girls whom Allah has given you as booty. That means possession, personal slave, slavery. When it comes to women, is approved, condoned and blessed by Allah himself. Now, these are from their own scriptures. I haven't just pulled this out of anywhere. This is what Islam teaches. This is not out of date. This is current. And it may shock you to find that out. But perhaps it's because you haven't had an in-depth study of what the Quran really teaches and what Muslims really believe. But the point is this, that the God of the Bible and Bible-believing Christianity is very different. It's very different. You cannot say that all religions teach the same thing. Now, lastly and most importantly, there in your notes, religions differ about salvation. About salvation. How a soul can attain eternal life with God. Now, all religions except Bible Christianity teach salvation is by works. Your last blank in your notes is the word salvation. Every religion except Christianity teaches you have to do something good in order to get to a better eternity on the other side of death. Every religion teaches that except Christianity. Except Christianity. Now, Hinduism, for example, the goal of salvation is to be released from the cycles of reincarnation. This is what Brother Cloud has written. And it's achieved in one of three ways. Through working out your karma by taking practice in rituals, giving alms, that means giving possessions financially, doing good deeds through meditation, self-knowledge, or going through through devotion to one of the Hindu gods like Vishnu, temple rituals, pilgrimages, all that is included in one big package of doing something to get to a better eternity. That's what Hinduism teaches. Now, in Islam, salvation is achieved through praying five times a day toward Mecca, celebrating the feast of Ramadan, giving alms, going on a pilgrimage at least once in your lifetime to Mecca is compulsory if you want to gain Allah's favor and end up in paradise when you die, where you'll also have slave women as your own possession. That's something else from the Quran. That's what Islam teaches. But the Bible teaches salvation is very different. Very different. Very different from all the religions of the world. Why? Because the Bible teaches that salvation is not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. Let me say that again. Not what we do for God, but what God has done for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 very clearly tells us, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, according to the Bible, we can't be saved by good works. We cannot. The Ten Commandments were given to show us how great sinners we really are. Thou shalt not lie. We've already broken that one. Thou shalt not steal. We've all broken that one. We all were mischievous. Vishnu was a sinner who needed a saviour. We were all mischievous. We've stolen, we've lied. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Covet thy neighbour's wife. And Jesus Christ said, if you look on a woman to lust after, you've already committed the sin of adultery in your heart. We are all sinners before a holy God. We cannot earn salvation by our good works, because we cannot keep God's perfect standard that His law requires. But here's the good news, that God Himself provided salvation, forgiveness, by coming into this world and suffering and dying on the cross to pay the punishment that we deserve.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
That is the wonderful message of God's good news, not a religion. This is God's good news, the gospel. And the Bible tells us that there's no such thing as reincarnation. We don't come back again and again in a cycle, because it's appointed unto men how many times to die? Once to die. And then the judgment. Once to die. No loved ones have ever come back to tell us or to show us in some way. In fact, it's absolutely preposterous to think that our loved one, who we miss, who we long for, would come back in the form of an insect, which cannot express love, which cannot express relationship. That's what Buddhism teaches, reincarnation. It's absolutely ridiculous. It is not true. The Bible tells us that salvation is a gift from God. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we simply repent of our sins, turn from our sinful ways, and turn by faith to Christ, and ask Him to be our Saviour, accepting Him as our Saviour from sin once and for all, and the Lord of our life, amen, we can experience His forgiveness forever. You see, Christianity is not a ladder that we need to climb to get to God. Christianity is someone who has been forgiven forever, wanting to live for the one who has loved them so much, because they have been so loved. You see, it's not true that all paths lead to God. They can't all lead to God, because they all point in different directions. No, not all paths lead to God. The only way to get to heaven is to follow the right road. The right road. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we need to say that in meekness and in fear to a lost world around us who is so deceived in thinking that there are many ways to God. Well, there are many religions, but they all teach something very different, very contradictory to the Bible. The gift of God is eternal life. And when someone finds that out, that they cannot work, but God has done it all for them, that is the power of the gospel. And then we can ask them, well, would you like to know more about God's gift to you? And you can be 100% sure of eternal life by receiving Christ as Saviour. Just go on from there. But there are plenty of thoughts there, I hope, to help you to answer that question. And you may, of course, have some of your own as you research and study. But let me encourage you to have an answer ready for every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and with fear.